If you have your Bibles, turn with me to two openings of Scripture. We're going to be looking at Psalm 69, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll be taking a look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. And I will repeat that. Our first opening of Scripture will be Psalm 69, verses 1 through 5. And as you're turning there, the Lord gave me this message. It's funny, like, there's sometimes I'm seeking God, trying to find an answer, trying to find the right words to say, and then suddenly He'll just give it to me and I'm not expecting it. This word came to me as I was in a rocking chair with my 2-year-old daughter, Gabrielle, and I was rocking her to sleep. And I asked the Lord a question, and the question was, Lord, I want to go deeper in Your spirit. I want to go deeper in You. How do I go deeper in You? Was the question that I was asking. And the Lord showed me an image of something. This picture flashed in my head, and He told me to go study this that you'll be hearing in today's message. And I believe by the help of the Holy Ghost that someone's going to get help today. Someone's going to get help today. Psalm 69, verse 1 says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, Thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from Thee." I want to read verse 1 and 2 again. "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 9 to verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." Today I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, "The Deep Things." I want to talk to you about the deep things. Before we go any further, I want to entertain the presence of God. I want the Spirit of God to have its way today. I don't want to just give you a nice positive message or something just to make you feel good. I want people to get delivered. My heart is heavy with this word, that God is wanting to rescue someone from the very depths of despair, that you are drowning and you are sinking and you're at your wit's end, and God is wanting to pull you out. And the Lord has given me this assignment to help you get out. And I want the Spirit of God to have its way. Could you just for a moment, I want to pray in the Holy Ghost just for a minute. I want to set the atmosphere for God to do His work today. I feel this in the Spirit today. Thank You, Father. Father, we magnify You, we exalt You. Lord, we lift You and we worship You. Lord, we acknowledge that You're here in our midst, and that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And Father, I know that there are people in the sound of my hearing that are bound with chains, and they are heavy laden with burdens. And I pray, oh God, today, let the Spirit of the breaking sound forth in this house, that chains will be loosed and people will be set free. God, people are carrying burdens that they cannot carry anymore, that they're at their wit's end. Oh God, I pray, show up in this house. I pray that they'd find liberty today. Have Your way in this place today. Oh God, we love You and worship You. I decree, Lord Jesus, Your Spirit of liberty in this place, that people be set free and delivered by the help of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, have Your way, oh God. We bless You and worship You in Jesus' name. Somebody lift up your voice across this place today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to talk to you today about the deep things. Deep things are the things that we don't want to talk about. The things we don't want to deal with. But I feel the Lord saying we need to deal with the deep things. While most books begin with an introduction that gradually brings its reader into the depths of the subject matter, the Bible, on the contrary, begins with deep things to not only begin its narrative, but in describing creation itself. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, and you guys all know this verse, we've all quoted it a million times. Genesis 1 verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The deep waters, I want to bring some things to your attention in this text. The deep waters were the first object to be moved upon by God's Spirit, and were present even before God said, let there be light. The waters were there before God said, let there be light. And the waters were the object, the deep waters, were the object of God's presence movement. And what we discover in this text is that the waters are the foundation of the earth, through which the earth is built upon. Whenever we start talking about the waters, especially the deep waters, it's the foundation that the earth, the planet itself, is built upon. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods." 2 Samuel 22 verse 14 says, "The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were discovered at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils." So there's something very important that the Lord is trying to communicate to us about the depths of the waters, that it's the foundation for our planet, for the world that we live in. And one of the things that many people don't realize, that although the seas are comprised about 71% of the earth's surface, we actually know very little about it. We know more about space than we do about the oceans that we live in our planet. Some interesting facts I want to share with you. According to National Geographic, more than 80% of the ocean has never been mapped, explored, or even seen by human beings. Some estimates are even as high as 95%, meaning that we only know or have only seen 5% of the ocean when you consider its total volume, because the majority of its volume, its mass, is beneath the surface in the depths. According to UNESCO, there are as many as 3 million shipwrecks at the bottom of the world's oceans. 3 million! The ocean is so vast and so deep that it covers 3 million vessels that have shipwrecked at the bottom. 3 million, that's more, I think, more than three times the population of Milwaukee. 3 million vessels are sitting right now at the bottom of the ocean that have been wrecked, that have been destroyed, have been completely shattered and broken apart. Even so, in the ocean of sin, many souls have wrecked and sunken beneath the waves of wickedness. Their vessels punctured, battered, and strewn across the depths of sin's abyss, drowned in the waters of pain and suffering unable to surface or come to the top. That what's interesting is that all these vessels, 3 million vessels at the bottom of the ocean, in the same sense, how many millions, even billions, are suffering under the ocean of sin? Their vessels broken and shattered. And you have many different vessels that have sunken in the oceans. You have vessels of trade, merchant ships, that are just trying to transport cargo. You have vessels of transport that are transporting people or for luxury or for transportation, trying to get to another destination. Then you have vessels of war that were sunken due to a battle that they encountered. Some of these vessels were sunken by a natural disaster, by a storm. Some were sunken due to negligence by the crew. Some were sunken due to poor design. And some were sunken due to warfare. And there are some of you that in this audience, that you are sinking, or you have been sunken under an ocean of trouble, under an ocean of pain, under an ocean of sin, an ocean of guilt and condemnation, and your life is a complete wreck and shattered. The majority of the people in existence on this planet are like these shipwrecks, sunken and battered, punctured and forgotten under the depths of their pain and under the depths of their life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:18, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." That there are some of you are like the battleships. Maybe you are in ministry and you're fighting the good fight of faith, but then the devil punctured you and shot you and put a hole in your vessel, and you've sunk into the very depths of despair, unable to rise. Your life a ruin, your life a complete wreck. It's funny, because it's not really funny, but it's interesting that in the deep places of the earth is destruction. The deepest part of the earth, the deepest part of the ocean, is where there is destruction and mayhem, loss of life and pain and suffering. And there's some of you right now that you have sunken and you're in the depths of despair. You're in this deep part where you think that nobody can reach you. Now, here's the thing. For any ship to sink, it must first become more dense than the water that it's sitting on. At some juncture, the water has to fill the vessel, causing it to sink. So what happens for anything to sink, for any boat to sink, at some point, the water has to somehow get inside of the boat to make it more heavy so that it becomes the same as the water, and it begins to sink and to dive underneath the waters. And it could happen by any means. As I said before, it could happen because of a storm, by waves beating on the ship. It could happen due to a battle and being shot with a torpedo, with a cannon. It could happen due to poor design and that the winds were blowing and you fell over and it capsized. Whatever the reason is, at some point, the waters got inside of your ship. At some point, sin got inside of your heart, sin got side of your soul, and it dragged you underneath the billows and underneath the waves. The verse that I read, my main text in Psalm 69, verse 1, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." Now, here's the thing about the deep places of the earth. The deepest places in the earth have immense pressure. Immense pressure, because what happens is the deeper that you go in the ocean, the higher the weight of the water is that's above you. So as you go down deeper, there's more weight of water being pushed on you, being exerted on your body or whatever vessel that you're in, and it begins to crush it. In the deepest part of the ocean, the pressure is 1,100 times greater than what you're feeling on the surface. In some parts of the ocean, it's 15,000 pounds per square inch. To give you an idea of how much pressure that is, that's the equivalent of taking anyone in this room and having them carry 50 747 jumbo jets on their back. To give you an idea of how much that is, that's like an elephant putting all of its weight on the size of a postage stamp. The pressure is immense. It's so horrible. And there's some of you, you're sunk down so low that the pressure is immense. It is crushing you, and you cannot surface. You cannot rise because of your pain, because of your guilt, because of your shame, because of your sin. Verse 3 of this text. The writer says, "I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." Drowning in sin. My life is a wreck. Verse 14 of this same chapter says, "Deliver me out of the mire. And let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And out of the deep waters, let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up. And let not the pit shut her mouth upon me." We were so deep in sin that we're unable to get rescued. One of the things about a lot of these sunken vessels, it's difficult to get to them if they're too deep, because the pressure is so heavy. You would need something that'd be able to withstand that amount of pressure being exerted on the hull of the vessel. Now, what is very interesting is, in the deep places, yes, there are places of destruction, complete wrecks where lives are lost, but also in the deep places is treasure. The same place where there is destruction and mayhem and pain and loss is also treasure. Did you know that it is estimated that there is around $60 billion sitting at the ocean floor right now? $60 billion dollars just sitting there where there was a wreck, where there was destruction and mayhem. There was also diamonds and gold. For example, I believe it's in 1641, the merchant ship, the Merchant Royal, it sunk with 100,000 pounds of gold on it. That's worth today about $2 billion, sitting in the deepest part of the ocean. So yes, in the depths there is destruction and there is mayhem, but also in the depths there is treasure to be found. Even though our lives are complete wrecks, we carry something of value, and in the deep places, these treasures are of great worth. However, the problem remains, how could someone rescue us from such immense depravity, from such wickedness, and from such pain, from such evil that infests our soul? Who would have the capability to penetrate the very depths of sin itself? This individual would have to do four things at least. One, they would have to see the treasure that is valued in the wreck. Why are we even trying to go down to this wreck in the first place? Because there's something valuable that's there. There's treasure that's there. And this individual would have to see there's the treasure that's there is worth me going through the pain and the pressure. That's number one. Number two, they would have to have the ability to sink to the lowest depths, but also have the ability to rise from the lowest depths. This individual also would have to have the capacity to carry the cargo from the wreck or lift the wreck itself. Not only would have to have the ability to withstand the pressure, also, but not only to have the ability to sink and to rise, but also the ability to lift and to carry whatever load it's carrying. It would have to withstand immense pressure in order to rescue such a devastated wreck in the deepest, darkest parts of the ocean. And I'm not making this up. The deepest part of the ocean, they have different zones to classify different depths in the ocean. The deepest part of the ocean is called the Hadal zone. It comes from the Greek word Hades. It represents hell or the underworld. That's where there are a lot of wrecks that are down there. And it's in the hell zone. Broken, forgotten, unreachable. So to get this wreck, one, I got to see the treasure that's there to maybe want to pay the cost. Secondly, I got to have the ability not only to sink, but be able to rise. I got to have the strength to carry the cargo and lift the wreck and the treasure itself. And also I got to be tough enough to withstand the pressure. Here comes Jesus, who came to us. I was in the depths of sin and despair. My life was a wreck, trashed, shattered, battered, nothing there. But Jesus looked down from heaven and saw my value and saw my worth and said, there is a treasure that's there. Jesus had the ability to look at a wreck and see the treasure, to look at the publicans and the sinners and see something of value to salvage or to rescue, to look at the prostitutes, to look at the murderers and the thieves and the cheaters and see something of value worth rescuing and saying, you are a treasure to me and I'm willing to go through hell and yes, deep water to get you out of the mess. The Bible says in Luke 19 verse 10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus left the grandeur and the heights of heaven being the Most High, and he died to the very depths of man's depravity to rescue us from our sin, because he saw something in me worth rescuing. He saw a treasure inside of me. I want you to understand here today that even though your life is a wreck, Jesus sees value in you. He sees a treasure in you. He sees potential in you. And he wants to lift you from the depths of despair and into the elevation of heaven by his loving kindness and his goodness. You're not worthless. You're not a piece of trash. Yes, your life is a wreck, but inside of you is gold. Inside of you is diamonds. Inside of you is rubies that God is wanting to lift and show the world of his goodness and mercy. Luke 15:8 says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. He's looking for that one coin that fell in the ocean. You're that one coin, so valuable, so precious, that God would leave heaven and earth to rescue you and to salvage you. 3 million wrecks are sitting at the bottom of the ocean. How much more so are the lives of the men and women who live on the surface, on the land? How many wrecks you see every day you go to Walmart or you are going to McDonald's to get something to eat? You're looking at shipwrecks, lives who have been completely destroyed by the enemy. There are casualties of the spiritual war that's being waged before us even now. More powerful, more threatening than what's going on in Ukraine. The enemy launches attacks to destroy men and women's lives and to sink them below the depths of pain and suffering. It's the part of the ocean that nobody wants to go. Jesus went to the places where no one else wanted to go. He went to places that no one else wanted to go. Because all there are is wrecks, but Jesus saw the treasure. As I said before, he would have to have the ability to sink, but yet also the ability to rise. Now remember, I said that in order for something to sink, it has to allow the water to come inside of it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That when Jesus came, he allowed the sin to be applied to himself so that he could elevate us out. And even with that water allowing him to sink down to the very depths of hell itself, he had enough power to rise and to take us up with him. For the Bible says in Luke 9:22, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day, that Jesus is called the bread of life. I heard a song say that of course he was battered and raised, because that's what bread does. When bread, you make bread, you batter it and then you put it in the oven, then it lifts up, it raises up. Yes, Jesus was battered, but also he was raised. And when he got up, I got up with him. He had the unique quality to sink to the lowest hell, but also the power to lift us to the highest heaven by his goodness and by his righteousness. Oh, this Jesus I speak of. This Jesus was not some sissy either. He was a strong God. He is a strong God, able to withstand the pressures of this life. Remember, the pressure that is down at the depths is immense. It's able to implode and to crush the strongest of hulls. But look at Jesus descending into the lower parts of the earth, descending into my depression, descending into my heartache, descending into my divorce or my rape experience or my child molestation past, descending into all the pain and the darkest parts that nobody wants to talk about, descending down into the depths of into where I am, but yet being able to take it. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the pressure of the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says this, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That Jesus, the Bible said that he was bruised for our iniquities. Right, he was bruised, he was crushed. He went through the pressure of experiencing our sin and our depravity, because he needed to get down that deep to pull us out. Finally, as I said before, that this individual has to have the ability to carry the cargo from the wreck or lift the wreck itself. John 6:38 says, Jesus said, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Jesus' purpose is to raise you from the depths of sin, to bring you to breach the surface so that you could experience eternal life. Now, the question is, well, how does he do that? Now, there are multiple ways in which a sunken ship is raised, but one in particular grabs my attention, that it lifts the ship by first restoring its buoyancy. Because a ship is designed to float. And the reason why it floats is because it has air in it. And it naturally is lighter than and less dense than the water. So what they do is, if there's a ship that's sunken, is they try to restore its buoyancy. So what they do first is they go down to where the holes are in the ship, if it's been damaged. And they get divers down there and they patch it up. They seal all the holes. Once they seal the holes, they get pumps and they pump the water out. And as they pump the water out, they pump air in. Or they pump objects that have a lot of air in it into the vessel so that it can't escape. And as the air fills the vessel, it naturally begins to float and comes to the surface. Now, here's the thing. Look at Jesus. When he looked at my wrecked life, first, he patched me up. He saw all the holes. He saw all the cracks. He saw all the issues. He saw all the problems. And he applied his blood to my battered soul and patched them all up so there was nothing leaking out of me. Then he took the waters out of me. He then siphoned and sucked out all the sin and wickedness out of my soul. And then he filled my vessel with... John 20 verse 21 says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So first he patched me up and fixed me up. Then he took my sins away. And then he filled me with his spirit and filled me with air. And his spirit lifted me up out of the depths of despair. I hear the song says that I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, and now safe am I. Love lifted me when no one else could help. Y'all hear me up in here. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Woo! Good God from on high. God filled me with his love. And his love was so strong that the depths could not hold me anymore. The darkness could not conceal me anymore. And I breached the surface of sin, breached the surface of my pain, breached the surface of my despair. Jesus. The deep things. God wants to deal with the deep things today. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The Bible said that we're risen with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. I hear the psalmist say in Psalm 3 verse 3, that thou art the lifter up of my head, thou art my shield and the lifter up of mine head. That God is the one who lifts our head. And the way that he does it, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 20. Look at this. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Notice this. The verse says that by his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. That what helps us to elevate, what helps us to surface, is that we get filled with a knowledge of a fact, a truth. And this truth is so amazing that it lifts us out of the despair. What is that truth? Romans 5 verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. I become so filled with the idea that Jesus loves me. I know we say that. We say it all the time. We sing it as a children's song. But when you really fully comprehend that love, it will lift you from any dungeon. It will lift you out of any bad mood. That the creator of the universe is madly in love with me and pursued me to the greatest depths of hell itself to rescue me. That one truth breaks up the depths and elevates me. That God's love, it lifted me. Praise God. I want to go to my main text. I'm trying to wrap this up here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Now here's the thing. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Here's the awesome thing. So, in order to get a vessel from the ocean to go down there, you'd have to have another vessel. And that vessel is called a submarine. It's a ship that's designed to sink. It's really quite a remarkable thing when you think about it. A ship that's designed to sink. And Jesus was this submarine, because no other vessel can get down there. Only a submarine can. And he came down to the depths and he rescued us. But you know, when you get born again, you get saved, you become like Jesus. So before, I was a broken vessel. I was a ship. But when I got born again, God made me a submarine. He took me out of the ocean of sin and put me on the ocean of his love. And said, I want you to dive as deep as you possibly can. Because it's the Spirit that searches the deep things of God. Now, I want to tell you this letter that we're reading here, 1 Corinthians. This church had a lot of problems. Let's just say that. Had a lot of issues. Go to 1 Corinthians 3 real quick, just for a minute. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 1. This is Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? They were babes in Christ. They were carnal Christians. Now, if you know anything about babies, they're pretty shallow. They don't really care about much. They don't care how your day went. Don't care if you got bills to pay. Don't care if it's 3 a.m. and they're screaming their head off. They don't care. Don't care. All they care about is food and warmth and sleep. That's pretty much it. They're crabby. They are emotional and extremely self-centered. They don't care. They don't care anything about you. I got 5 of them, so I can say it. They don't care. When Paul calls these Christians babes, and he says they're carnal, that they could only see to the surface, they can only see the natural. They couldn't get to the deep parts of the Spirit. Now, remember my question I said I asked the Lord earlier when I was sitting in the rocket where I got this message. I said, God, how can I go deep with you? And then he showed me the image of a submarine. And he said, study the submarine. So when I studied the submarine, I found, how does a submarine even sink? So a submarine has inside it what are called ballast tanks. And these tanks, for the most part, when it's surface, it's empty. It's just filled with air. That's all that's there. But when it wants to dive, what it does is it has air vents on the top, and it has also some vents at the bottom, some valves at the bottom. And what happens is, first, it has to open the air vents to let all the air out. And when it does that, that allows the water to come in, which then enables it to sink. I said, well, Lord, why are you showing me this? Why are you trying to tell me this? He said, you want to go deeper in me, then you're going to have to let all the air out of your ballast tank. Oh. Now, my previous analogy, when we were a ship, the air represented God's love and God's Spirit. But in this case, the air represents something else. Remember I said earlier that what causes us to rise, what caused the depths we broke up, was knowledge. The knowledge of God's love. That's what causes us to rise. What stops us from going deep into the ocean is a different type of knowledge. A knowledge of sin, a knowledge of evil, a knowledge of guilt, or a knowledge of this world. And all that stuff is all in our heart, in our ballast tanks. And God is telling us, if you want to go deep in me, you're going to have to let all the ego, let all the pride, let all of it out. And when you do so, my Spirit will rush into you and carry you to the depths of my love that you have never seen before. Now, I'm going to prove that. Check this out. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I want you to see this. Remember, the Corinthian church was carnal, which means they were shallow, and they were not deep. Now, look at this. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up. for one against another. Puffed up, filled with air. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says this, "Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I would not come to you. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of men, of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." You're seeing a theme here, this puffing up? Go to chapter 5. Verse 1. Chapter 5, verse 1. "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not as much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." He said, y'all nasty. You guys are doing stuff that even other sinners aren't thinking of. Y'all supposed to be saving the church. Now look at this. Verse 2. Verse 2. "And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he hath done this deed might be taken away from you." They were filled with arrogance and pride and ego, that even when this grotesque sin was being committed amongst themselves, they would not repent of it and actually were bragging about it. You're not going to get very deep in God with an attitude like that. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God resisteth the proud, but giveth more grace unto the humble. Look at chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. "Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him." I'm going to really start dealing with some things here, okay? Let's set the record straight, all right? This church was a spiritually gifted church. This church was tongue-talking and prophesying and doing all sorts of stuff, had the gifts of healings and miracles. We know about that because Paul addressed it in chapter 12. He spent a whole chapter talking about spiritual gifts and then a whole chapter about speaking in tongues. But yet this church was so filled with infidelity and corruption and all sorts of grotesque sin that he said even sinners haven't thought of this stuff. This tells me that being deep spiritually is not by how much you speak in tongues. Doesn't matter how many sick folk you lay hands on. You are not deep. Carnal baby Christians can do that. You want to get deep? Well, let's look at what deep is. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. "Charity suffereth long." Charity in the Greek is agape, the word for love. "And is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up." The measure of your spiritual depth is found in this. How much of God's love is in you? And how much you show God's love to others. Because you can talk in tongues all you want, run the aisles and shout from the chandeliers, but you're still shallow if you do not comprehend God's love. Now I'm talking about the deep things here. Now earlier, I was talking about us going deep into the waters. Now I want to talk about God going deep in you. Because everything I said about the ocean applies to us. Then the deepest parts of ourselves are often there's wreckage that's there. The parts of ourselves we won't tell anybody about. The parts of ourselves we're ashamed to talk about. Where there's pain and where there's heartache and betrayal. But also in the deepest ballast tanks of our soul is treasure. And God wants to reach that treasure and bring it to the surface. But that can only happen unless we open our air vents and allow the God of the universe to fill our heart. Now, when we're talking about the sea of sin, we want to try and keep the water out and stop us from drowning. But when you talk about the ocean of love, we want the waters to fill us with such a degree that there's no space for any hatred or malice or unforgiveness. That's how you get to the deep things of God. When you can look at your enemy and love them no matter what, then you real deep. When you're in trouble and you are just drowning in all sorts of mess, the only thing that can get you out is the love of God. I close with this last verse. John 7, verse 37. Again, that any vessel's goal is to keep the water out for the most part, unless you're a submarine. We're trying to keep the waters out. In the first text I read, the psalmist was writing how the waters were coming into my soul and I'm drowning. But in the New Testament, we want the waters to come into our soul. Jesus said in John 7 verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly, out of his ballast tank, shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. One of the reasons why that you have not experienced the depths of God's love, because you've not opened your air vents, you've not allowed your water valves to come up. That's why there are people that you can sit in the same service, and people can be delivered in one section, but feel nothing in the other, because their valves are closed. One Christian is diving deep while another one is shallow and doesn't want to open up. No, I don't want it. It's invasive. It's uncomfortable. But you have got to open up your heart. Open up your ballast tanks. Allow God to go to the depths of your soul and love you and forgive you and redeem you. He wants to rescue you. Are you going to allow God into your heart? Truly allow him into your heart. Then you're going to have to let the knowledge, the puffiness out of your ballast tank. You've got to let go of what you think you know. You may think that you're a wreck. That may be true. You may think that it's hopeless. You may think that you're desperate. You may think there's no way out. But Jesus said, I am the way out. I am the truth and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You have to forsake the knowledge of your sin, the knowledge of the world, and embrace the knowledge of Christ, who is superior, who supersedes any transgression, any iniquity, any despair, any hurt or any pain. When you do that, the waters of God's Spirit will fill your soul and refresh you like cooling water, like we sang last week. It will refresh you. But you're going to let him in. I know in the deep place where the deep things are, again, there's wreckage, but there's also treasure. Let's stand. Let's stand. The Spirit of God, it searches out the deep things of God. And even right now in this audience, the Holy Spirit is diving deep into your heart and into your mind, trying to extrapolate the wreckage that is your life, that is your soul, and to extrapolate also the treasure that is inside of you. A life of service unto God is a treasure unto God. And as God loves you today, he's looking to get to resurrect or to lift up, to elevate that treasure. But the only way that's going to happen is if you open your air vents and you allow all the puffiness out. The Corinthian church, as gifted and talented as they were, they could not descend into the depths of God's love. Which is why Paul had to dedicate an entire chapter to it, because they were so arrogant and they were so prideful and they were so fastened to their own knowledge that they could not accept the knowledge of God's love into their hearts to truly believe and to truly experience the depths of his goodness. I offer you this opportunity, that you can receive Christ today, and that Jesus Christ can rescue you from the depravity and the depths of sin. But you have to allow him to do so. You've got to allow him to patch you up. You've got to allow him to pump that sinful lifestyle out of your heart. You've got to allow him to breathe into you the breath of life into your soul. And then you need to allow him to fill you with the waters of his love, so that you will dive deep into his goodness and his mercy. That you would dive deep into his goodness and his mercy. His love is immeasurable. His love can withstand the greatest pressure. His love can reach the highest mountain or can sink on to the lowest parts of the ocean. His love can forgive the most disgusting and despicable of evils and sin. His love can redeem and rescue you if you would let him. If you would allow him to do so, allow God to patch up your broken vessel. Allow him to fill you with his Spirit. Allow his love, the knowledge that Jesus Christ loves you, to fill your heart and mind, that you would surface from the depravity of sin. Your life may be a wreck, but God can breathe new life into it. Will you allow God to deal with the deep things of your heart and your spirit? Or will you stay in the shallow end of the pool? Stay in the kiddie pool where things are nice and safe. Where the waves aren't too high. Where you can't drown in God's love, so to speak. You're just getting your foot wet. You won't allow God to fully come in. God is asking you today, will you let him in? Will you let him in? Will you let him deal with the deep things? I know it's a wreck. I know it's a mess. I know your vessel is strewn all over the place. It's broken, it's shattered. And it seems like it has no value and no one could ever rescue you. I'm telling you that Jesus Christ can. That Jesus Christ can change your life if you would allow him to do so. If you would believe on him and him alone and allow the knowledge of his love that he has forgiven all of your sins once you repent and turn away from it, it will lift you from the waters. I offer you this opportunity to come. Will you come? Will you come and receive Christ? Receive his love. Receive his spirit. Some of you are drowning in the oceans of despair. You're drowning in the oceans of trouble. God wants to lift you out. For the Bible said that God is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble. The word of God says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up the everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. That's all you need to do today. Is open up your heart and allow God to deal with the deep things, and he will change your life forever. God bless you today.